Thank you to our speakers for a stimulating agreement, not a debate. I'll try to stick a couple of, I'll poke them a little bit. I think the challenge for the legal profession and the charity I direct is an organisation of lawyers and not for lawyers. So we're not like a legal professional body, but we have a lot of lawyers in our membership. The concerns about online courts and technology really come from two of the phrases inside the topic for today. How can the adoption of new technology be accelerated to improve efficiency in the justice system? The first is new technology, because while this technology isn't new to the rest of the world, it is a revolutionary change for lawyers and the judiciary. When I began as the Director of Justice 5 years ago, I can remember going off to think of projects justice should work on, and I met with one of our members, the then Lord Chief Justice, Lord Thomas, whose computer he showed me was accessed through, it didn't have a mouse, like you had an up-down button on a computer screen. It didn't have a mouse. That was how poor technology was. And when I suggested to my Council of Justice and the Board of Justice that we look at online technology and how that could improve access to justice, I was told that stuff Richard Soskin's been talking about for years, and it's never going to happen. And yet we now find ourselves 5 years on, and it's happened, and it's happening. And it's only now, I think Richard's right, denial sort of stopped a couple of years ago. People are starting to realise in the profession that it is something that is going to happen and that they need to get interested in it. The other problem is the word efficiency, and I think in terms of the context for the HMCTS reform program and the investment by Treasury, there is, because it has come in during a time of austerity, and there's no doubt the government obviously wants to save money through this, efficiency has become a code for cost-cutting, unfairness, and that again, when it's come in at the same time that legal aid's been cut back, etc., there is concern about what that means for access to justice. The truth, though, and the reason that my organisation has been supportive of this from the off, is that the existing system, the analogue system, the paper-based system that Susan's shown us up on the thing, is at the moment not working. It is excluding the vast majority of people. Legal aid levels have never been as they were in the 1980s for a long time, which means that the vast majority of people don't get legal aid for a civil claim, for example, and are completely costed out of affording legal services or exposing themselves to the cost risks of civil litigation, which means that the vast majority of people are excluded, particularly from the civil justice system. And that reason of exclusion has meant that my organisation has been supportive of it. And I think time will tell and history will show that one of the great things to come out of austerity has been that it's made the justice system be dragged into the 21st century. Can't claim there are too many other things that people would broadly think about, but I think in 20 years' time, it will be seen as one of the key things that happened because we had to move to an IT-enabled system because the analogue system wasn't working. And it provides an opportunity to bring more people back into the justice system, which is important. There was a report done in Australia a number of years ago on litigants in person in the family courts in Australia, and the Chief Justice in charge of that said that when you're faced with lots of litigants in person, as we are, you've got three options. You give them lawyers, you make them lawyers, or you change the system. And this change at the moment is all about system change. That's where we are. And for us, it's important that the constitutional role of the courts will become enhanced when we bring people back into the justice system, because at the moment they're excluded. In terms of concerns, there are obviously the concerns that Richard's raised from the professions. Lawyers, and I know there are some lawyers amongst you, although most of you have gone up to the bench, lawyers aren't great with change. Lawyers are by nature quite conservative. They're attached to particular processes and ways of doing things that have worked over time. And it's there is a hearts and minds aspect to this that I know Susan spends a lot of time having to work on. But it is quite important that it not be perceived that this move towards online justice is in any way undermining fair, open, transparent justice, independence and fair judiciary justice system. At the same time, lawyers possibly do stand to lose the way they work currently. So we need to think about how to encourage, and Richard talked about legal education, lawyers to think differently about their roles and how they could actually positively benefit from engaging with an online system. Concerns we have, well, the first concern, the obvious concern, is that not everybody is online. And that's been the objection, certainly, from the professions. Justice has just done a report that came out 2 weeks ago. Lord Briggs launched that for us, and I have four copies with me that I could remember to bring if anybody wants it. But that looks explicitly at preventing digital exclusion. And one of the concerns in that report is the fact that there are certain segments of the population, homeless people, people at certain kinds of detention, who don't have access to the internet. There are certain parts of the country where the internet is simply not available in the same way, and I know at least one person in the audience who will be raising that, I'm sure. The second issue has been raised by Sir Geoffrey is open justice and transparency. My suspicion is there might be ways to actually make our courts more transparent through doing things online, but we really need to explore how that would work. The third is the communications problem with the professions particularly, but also with the public, giving them assurance that an online system will work just as well as going to a county court would work, or any other sort of court. And the final one is the perception of independence. It's something that we raised in our report on preventing digital exclusion, but it struck me when Susan put up the Social Entitlement Tribunal slide that it's a case at against DWP, and yet the website is gov.uk, which I think does is concerning, I mean, in terms of a perception. And it's, I think, quite important, and we've recommended that a different website that can hold the same sort of quality brand, trusted brand, although noting that for some people, including those, I'm guessing, with problems with DWP, government brand might not be that trustworthy or hold in such esteem. So I think there are things to tweak. The final thing is with this change, we have an unprecedented opportunity to capture data about how the system works in a way that piles of files in offices is impenetrable. So I think it's important that we capture the data, identify it, and now analyse it and learn from it, because that is something that we can do now with an online system that we've never been able to do on paper.